Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Let me begin my message by stating the obvious. Easter is 1 week away. How many of you knew that? Easter is just 1 week away. Next week, when we're here in church, it's going to be Easter Sunday 2019. Easter is when we as Christians celebrate the most important doctrine of our faith, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was Dr. Henry Morris, the founder of the Institute of Creation Research, who said, and I quote, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God and the Christian faith is absolute truth." End of quote. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the one doctrine that distinguishes Christianity from all the other religions in the world. The founders of all the other religions are still in their graves. But Jesus conquered death and the grave with his victorious resurrection. Amen. In the words of the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, whose portrait hangs in our Christian Hall of Fame, he said, and I quote, "The resurrection is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other world religions." End of quote. And I would say a big amen to that. Just a couple of weeks ago, we finished a great world missions conference where we focused on the tremendous need of getting the gospel out to the lost all around the world. We were blessed with 6 wonderful missionaries. We got to hear about their respective fields of service. But I want to shift gears here this morning because in my mind, Easter is all about getting the gospel out to the lost right here in our community. Listen to me carefully, because if we have a burden to reach the world with the gospel and we don't reach our own community with the gospel, something's wrong. I got one amen on that. There's a lot of truth in that statement. I thank God for the burden, the world vision that this church has to get the gospel out to the uttermost parts of the earth. But at times I'm concerned about whether we're doing that and we're not reaching people right here on the home front in our community. God forbid that we would reach people in Africa, but we won't reach people right here in Stark County. God forbid that we would reach people in Europe or in Asia or in Latin America, and we don't reach people right here in our own backyard. I want to put something else up on the screen that you probably are already aware of this, but it's true. Easter is the number one most likely time for unchurched people to attend church. Number one. You know what the second is? Mother's Day. Everybody knows their mom wants them to be in church. Mother's Day is number two. But Easter is the number one most likely time for unchurched people to attend church. In other words, people that normally don't go to church anywhere at all year long, suddenly on Easter say, maybe we should go out and buy some new clothes and go to church on Easter. Suddenly Easter becomes an opportunity. So what that means is that since Easter is just what? 1 week away, I think we need to get busy inviting people to come be here on Easter weekend. We have 1 week. We are down to 1 week that we have what I call an Easter opportunity, an opportunity for inviting people to come and to be a part of our Easter weekend services here at Canton Baptist. Now, here's the sad reality. I'm not making up these numbers. The research shows it, all right? Here's the sad reality. Only 2% of church members ever invite an unchurched person to church. 2%. That means 98% of most members sitting in the pews of our churches across America never invite anybody else to church. I don't know about you, but Ben, that stat scares me. It scares me. I hope that we're not one of the 2%er churches. I hope a whole lot of a greater percent of our membership is busy inviting people, not just at Easter, but all throughout the year to come to church. But only 2% of church members ever invite unchurched people to church. Do you know the number one reason why they don't invite others to church? This is what the research showed. The research shows that the average church member, the reason why they don't invite somebody else to church is this excuse: I just don't think about it. I don't think about it. We're in church on Sunday. We think about the church. We think about the impact that Christ has had on our lives. We think about the gospel and the power of the gospel. We hear a choir sing a song about how we'll cherish the cross. We don't just cherish the cross on Sunday. We cherish it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You got to understand, we don't just come to church. We are the church. So when we leave out these doors out there into the mission field, our mission field, we're supposed to be the light and the salt. We're supposed to be the church. The number one excuse, I just don't think about it. Nearly all of us have contact with unchurched people every week, if not every day. We go to school with them. We work with them. We live beside them. Sometimes, and some of you might even live with them. In other words, you have family members that are not saved, family members that need to be in church this Easter. But for some reason, even though we rub shoulders with them day in and day out, we never think about inviting them to church. How many of you are here today because someone invited you to church? It might be 50 years ago or it might be last week. You're in church here at Canton Baptist Temple because somebody invited you. Raise your hand. Think about it hard. Somebody invited you to church. All right? Lots of hands went up. I would say at least half of you. Hands went up saying, I'm here in church today because somebody invited me to come and to be a part of this church, this ministry right here. That's what I would call the power of an invitation. The power of inviting somebody to come and to attend church here at Canton Baptist Temple. Why should you invite someone to come to church here at Canton Baptist? Here's why you ought to do that. Because you know that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they will have an opportunity to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. A lot of churches out here in our community are no longer preaching the gospel, or they're preaching a false gospel. They're teaching a works-based gospel. And by the way, the gospel is no longer good news if it's all by good works. That's bad news because we don't know how much good works is going to get us to heaven. The good news is that salvation is not by good works. It is all by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we preach the gospel here. We share the gospel not only on Sunday mornings, but in our Sunday school, in our ABFs, in our children's ministries, in our Forever Young ministry, in our Grow Outreach program as we're out visiting on Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, Saturday. We're sharing the gospel, telling others about Jesus. That's something we're committed to here at Canton Baptist Temple. And I want you to understand that this Easter could change someone's life for all of eternity if you will simply invite them to come to church. The question is this: have you been inviting people to come to church? Have you been using those invite cards? We ordered 5,000 of them, and then we ordered another 5,000 of them. So we're trying to get them into your hands so that you can get them into the hands of others that need to be here on Easter Sunday. People need Jesus right here in Stark County, folks. If we're not doing our job, how are they going to get saved? How is their life going to be transformed if we don't do our part to get out there and tell them about Jesus and to tell them about our church? Now, you probably thought I was never going to get to Matthew 28. I'm there. Matthew 28. Let's look at it. All right. Are you there in Matthew 28? Raise your hand. All right, good. I see that hand. Pray this prayer after me. No, I'm kidding. Matthew 28. I want to read the first 8 verses. By the way, this is the first Easter story. This is the first Easter morning. Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So look, if you will, at verse 6 and 7, because there's 4 words that I want you to circle, highlight, underline, whatever you want to do to draw attention to 4 words, all right? Are you ready? Here's the 4 words. Come and see in verse 6, and then 2 words in verse 7, go and tell. There's the 4 words that I want you to highlight there in your Bible. Come, see, go, tell. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have experienced the miracle of those first 2 words, come and see. You see, those of us who have come to Jesus, that is, we have accepted him as our personal Savior, we have seen what his resurrecting power can do in our lives, right? Some of you give God the glory when you think about where you used to be in your life and where you are today, all because of Jesus. You got saved and your life has been forever changed. It will never, ever be the same because of God's grace and God's mercy. Think about where you would be today without Jesus. We have come and we have seen what the resurrecting power of Christ can do in a person's life. I'm reminded of Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When a person comes by faith and receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the burden of sin is lifted. They are delivered from the bondage of sin, and they are gloriously saved from all of their sins. Think about it, because we used to be hell-bound sinners, but when we came to Jesus, we can now say that heaven is our eternal home. Aren't you thankful that you came to Jesus? I'm thankful that somebody, a lady named Mrs. Moore, when I was 7 years old at the Colonial Hills Christian School, shared the gospel with me, and I opened my heart, and I received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't regret that spiritual decision. As a matter of fact, I have never met anybody who would say, "I regret getting saved. You ever met somebody like that? Somebody who would say, oh, I regret giving my heart to Jesus. I regret making that decision to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. No, I've never met anybody like that. I've only met people that would say, I'm so thankful that I'm saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm grateful to be saved today, aren't you? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As we look across the world, we see what man-made religion can do. And that is, it does nothing more than give a person false hope. There are a lot of people that think they're going to be in heaven one day because of the religion that they have embraced. Always remember that religion is nothing more than man's effort to work his way to heaven. Religion says if you do this and if you do that, then somehow, some way, maybe you might get to heaven. But the message of the Bible is this: Jesus paid it all. Right? Religion is man trying to reach up to God, but the message of the Bible, the message of redemption through Christ, is where God reaches down and lifts up man out of the miry clay and sets his feet upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That's what the message of the Bible is. There's only two proposals whenever it comes to how to get to heaven. There's religion's proposal, which is by good works, and there's God's proposal, and it's all by his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Most people around the world have embraced religion. We don't preach, here's more religion here at Canton Baptist. We talk about a personal relationship with God based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we received Christ as our Savior, then and only then were we able to say, I now have a personal relationship with God. You see, the cross is the payment and the empty tomb is the receipt. Amen? The cross that the choir sang about, that's the payment for our sins. Jesus died as our sacrifice, but when he came out of that tomb, that was the receipt. It's all paid for. Nothing needs to be added to the cross. Nothing needs to be subtracted from the cross. We dare not insult the person of Jesus and the work of his redemption on the cross. It's all because of Jesus that we can have salvation full and free. Thank God this morning we don't have religion, we have Jesus. Now notice the next two words. Because those of us who have come to Jesus and we have seen what his resurrecting power can do in our lives, now we have the responsibility to what? To go and to tell others about Jesus. Do you remember the four words? Come, see, and then go and tell. The angel of the Lord told both of these women here in Matthew 28, go quickly and tell. There is a sense of urgency that we get from that word quickly. The angel of the Lord didn't say, take your time now, or if you get around to this, women, if you happen to think about it later. No, that's not what the angel said. The angel said, go quickly and tell. There's an urgency involved in sharing the message of the gospel. I don't know if you realize this or not, but time is short. We hear about, we're seeing signs of the times are everywhere. I tell you what, there's so many signs right now. I'm no longer looking for the signs. I'm listening for the trumpet. Amen. We need to understand that we are living in the last days. Time is short. There's an urgency to sharing the message of the gospel. You say, oh, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply this: Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and then he conquered death and the grave with his victorious resurrection. And all who will put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone will be gloriously saved from their sins. You see, the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ not only needs to be delivered to the world, and that's what our missions conference was about, but it also needs to be delivered to those right here in our community. Now notice the response of the two women. Go back to Matthew 28. Look at verse 28, or verse 8 of chapter 28. And they, what? Departed quickly. Oh, how I wish that churches would respond with this kind of urgency. When we think about several hundred thousand unchurched people living right here in Stark County and the surrounding counties, don't you think that our response should also be, and they departed quickly? I would pray that after this morning's message, we would depart quickly. That we would see the urgency of inviting others to be here on Easter Sunday, the urgency of sharing the gospel with others, the urgency of telling somebody else what Jesus has done in our hearts and in our lives. There's got to be an urgency. We can't say, well, maybe somebody else will do it. I'm sure preacher was talking to the deacons this morning or talking to the ABF teachers or talking to somebody else, but he couldn't have been talking to me. I want you to know that this is the responsibility of every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. If you have come and you have seen, you are to go and you are to tell. That'll preach, amen. That will preach. Come and see, go and tell. That's the responsibility that every last one of us has here today. Can I ask you a question? Are you sharing the gospel with others? Are you part of the 2% or part of the 98%? You part of the 2% that invites others to come to church, shares their faith in Christ with others, talks about Jesus with others? Or are you like the 98% silent? Christian on Sunday, but the rest of the week, undercover Christian. Nobody else knows. We're spies. Which one? Do you realize you're a Christian 7 days a week, whether you want to be or not? You're a child of God. You're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, right? By faith, you belong to the family of God. That's not something to be embarrassed about. That's something to stand up, head high, shoulders up. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. A lot of Christians seem to be ashamed, though, because they're not talking about Jesus with anybody else. Right? God help us to not be like the rest of the churches across America. Wouldn't it be great if we could say 98% of Canton Baptist Temple is always inviting others to church and telling others about Jesus, only 2% don't? That'd be nice to reverse the stats, wouldn't it? Instead of only 2% are doing the job, now we say 98% is doing the job and 2% isn't. John 20. I'm almost through. As long as I don't preach as long as Ben did last week, amen? John chapter 20. That was a dig, brother. That was a dig. John chapter 20. I appreciate Ben talking about outreach last week. That's important to his heart. I'll tell you, Ben has a heart for souls. He does. He wants to see people get saved, and he wants to see our church grow. And I'm thankful for his message, and he knows I'm kidding him. John chapter 20. I want to read the first 8 verses here. I read the first 8 verses of Matthew 28. Look at John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and what's the last word there? What's the word? Believed. Look at verse 1. If you're in the habit of circling words in your Bible, I want you to circle the word cometh and seeth. Okay, a little bit of an archaic form of the same words that we're talking about, right? Come and see. Come and see. Mary Magdalene came and she saw. Then go to verse 2. Instead of the word quickly, we find the word runneth. But it's the same concept, because the word runneth certainly implies urgency as well, right? I've always told people, if you see me running, something's chasing me, amen? There's an urgency to it. I'm trying to get going down the road. Now, notice carefully what happens when these four words take place. Come, see, go, tell. Mary Magdalene came and saw the empty tomb of Jesus, and then she ran to tell Simon Peter, and the Bible says the other disciple, which, by the way, would have been John. We know that it was John. He is the one who wrote the Gospel of John. And he and Peter ran to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. Verse 4 implies that John was a faster runner than Peter. And the Apostle John gives his own personal testimony. What is your testimony here today? Here's John's testimony in verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and he what? He believed. My friend, that is exactly what can happen when we come and see, and we go and we tell. Others will also come and see, and they too will believe. That's what can happen.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.